We're going to do our learning time of the service now. So we're going to have our reading from Ephesians, followed by Dan speaking to us. So our reading is from Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to think about going deeper with God. So Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 7. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that being rooted and established in love, you may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So Dan's going to come and preach to us now.
Right. Brilliant. Okay. Fabulous. Tim's got the PowerPoint up. So I'm going to have to say click to Tim or something similar in order for him to know when to hopefully move my PowerPoint slides on. That's all being... I can remember as well. Right, shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, today is the beginning of our autumn sermon series that's going to take place over the next few months. And the theme is going to be around the church vision. Anita has produced these wonderful little termly cards that have got each week and what the theme of the sermon is going to be and what the Bible reading is. And hopefully there should be a stack of these at the back of church. So if you'd like to pick one up on your way out, you will know what we're going to be preaching on and what Bible reading we're going to be having over the next few months. The title of this sermon series is Living the Jesus Life. And you will have heard me sort of talk about this a little bit earlier on in the year. The church vision is learning to live in particular aspirations that we're going to be focusing on in this new season. And they are growing deeper, growing wider, and growing younger. Now, before I move on, thanks, Tim. Before I move on, I wanted to ask, do any of you remember a chorus back in the early 90s that was entitled God's Love is Deeper Than the Deepest Ocean? Anyone remember this song, chorus? A few of you. Okay, well, this was quite an important song for me, so I became a Christian in the early 90s, and this is one of the songs that I remember singing as a relatively young person. I was in my early 20s, and it was something that became a really kind of familiar refrain in my mind. So in order for you to understand the next bit of the sermon, I now need to sing you this song. So if you're not familiar with it, brace yourselves. This is how the song goes. God's love is deeper than the deepest ocean. God's love is deeper than the deepest ocean. God's love is wider than the widest sea. God's love is higher than the highest mountain. Deeper, wider, higher, deeper, wider, higher is God's love for you. Thank you. And so this is where we get the kind of three key aspirations for us at Christchurch in this new season, that we will grow deeper and wider and younger. And it comes from these three words, from this chorus, deeper, wider, higher. But here at Christchurch, we want to grow deeper, wider, and younger. So as we continue to learn to live the Jesus life here at Christchurch, those will be our aspirations. Deeper in discipleship, wider in seeing more people come to know and experience the reality of God's love for them through Jesus. And younger, because we want to see more children and young people become a part of our church family, because they're coming to know and experience the truth of who Jesus is. We want to see the whole Christchurch family seeking to live more like Jesus in every aspect of their life. So whether that's at school, in the playground, at home with your family, at work, at your places of leisure where you hang out and where your clubs and interest groups are, whether you're down at the post office or at the school gate, with your neighbours, or whether you're out walking and you bump into people. Our aspiration is that we would live like Jesus everywhere, all of the time. Now, later in the sermon series, we're going to be identifying five specific actions that will help us to grow deeper, wider, and younger. And they are inviting, telling, praying, giving, and serving. And so this is a journey I'm encouraging us all to take, both as individuals, but also collectively as a church family here at Christchurch. We're going to seek to grow deeper, wider, and younger together, recognizing that we don't all yet live like Jesus all of the time at the moment. And so the invitation is that we would seek to grow to become more like Jesus in every area of our life, in order that we might live more like him and do the things that he did. So today we're going to be focusing on growing deeper in our discipleship. And today's reading included that wonderful prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesian church. And indeed, I would suggest that this is a great prayer for you to be praying for us here at Christchurch. It's what Paul prayed for the Ephesian church, and I would encourage us to make that our prayer for all of us here at Christchurch. If you want to click through, Tim. And the next one, brilliant. So this is what I want us to focus on this morning. A few verses from Ephesians chapter 3. Now this happens to be my favourite book in the Bible, and this probably is one of my most favourite passages, this prayer that Paul prayed. This was the Bible reading that Julia and I had at our wedding a number of years ago. And so this morning, it's a great privilege to be preaching on these few verses. So I want us to focus on verses 16 through to 19, and let me read them to you. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So before we dive into those few verses, let me just give you a little bit of brief context to the book of Ephesians. Hopefully you will all know that it was Paul that wrote this letter to the Ephesian church. He'd spent a number of years planting the church much earlier on. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 19. And he's writing this letter as a way of encouraging that early church and those young Christians in their faith. You also need to know that Paul is writing this letter from prison. He's been imprisoned in Rome, and so he's writing letters to encourage the churches that he has planted. And this letter, the shape of this letter naturally falls into two distinct halves. In the first three chapters, Paul is reminding this church that he planted of some key teaching that he gave them when he was amongst them. It's a way of encouraging them, reminding of them of their doctrine, of their beliefs. And so, in those first three chapters, we find Paul talking about salvation being by grace alone and through Christ. We hear him talking about the reconciliation of Jew and Gentile through the saving action of Christ's death on the cross. We hear him talking about the unity of both Jew and Gentile in and through Christ. And then finally, we hear him talking about the revelation of God to more people is through the action and work of the local church. And then in the second half of Ephesians, in chapters 4-6, Paul goes on to focus on action and ethics, how we are to live because of what we believe. The first half is about what we believe, the doctrine and the nature of who Jesus is and what he has done. The second half of the book is, that's what we believe, now this is how you are to live because that is what you believe. And so he's writing this letter to the Ephesian church to encourage them, to build them up. They're young Christians. And so he's wanting to remind them of this teaching, but also the call to action because of what they believe. As he does in many of his letters, he begins with what we believe, but he concludes in how we must behave. In the final three chapters, Paul teaches us how to practice this belief that he's been reminding them of. And he's thinking primarily about what that looks like in the family, and in the workplace, and in the church. He's teaching them how they are to behave because of the beliefs that they hold. So just turning back to those first few verses in Ephesians 3, Paul prayed that the Ephesian church would be rooted and established in Christ's love. Paul is praying that these young Christians may discover the heart of what it means to be a Christian and to live the Jesus life. It means knowing God as the all-loving, all-powerful Father. It means putting down roots into that love. Now I guess that you have all seen pictures of trees and of root systems. And we are aware that what we see above ground is only a portion of a tree or a plant. Now, did you know that most tree root systems spread 2 or 3 times the size of the tree canopy. And the root system is a vast, intricate system that carries water and nutrients to the tree so that it will grow. What is happening below the ground and unseen is key in sustaining the growth above ground. So as we, Jesus' disciples today, seek to live the Jesus-shaped life, we too need to be rooted in the love of Christ. Often the things that are not seen or not noticed, the things that may happen in private or at home, they are the things that will enable us to grow, to sustain the structure of the tree trunk and the tree canopy. The acts of discipleship and devotion that seek to grow our root systems deep down into the love of Christ will sustain us and strengthen us and enable us to grow. We need to be people who practice being in the presence of Jesus so that we are changed into his likeness. As we daily spend time in his presence, as we dwell on his word that reveals his character and his purpose, so we will be filled and shaped by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul is making clear to the Ephesian church, that they're the local church, the people, the community in whom the Holy Spirit now dwells. That's what he was reminding them of. And maybe we too need to be reminded of that incredible reality. In the Old Testament, we heard stories of the tabernacle and the temple. In both those buildings, at the center of the temple, at the center of the tabernacle, was the Holy of Holies. And in the center of the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was the place where it was believed that God dwelt. And the temple and the tabernacle were at the center of the community of Israel. And the Holy of Holies was so sacred and so special that only one person could go in there once a year, the high priest. Because the place where God dwelt was so special, so holy, so revered, that you couldn't just wander in willy-nilly. But now Paul is reminding the Ephesian church that the place where God now dwells is within you and me, within our heart. We have become the dwelling place of God by his Holy Spirit. What an incredible, mind-blowing reality. God, the maker of the universe, comes to dwell within you and me. That's what we read about in verse 17. Christ, by his Holy Spirit, takes up residence inside you and me. We have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so the fullness of all that God is comes to dwell within you and me. His unimaginable holiness and mightiness. His power to create and restore life. His beauty, his glory, all that he is, the fullness of God Almighty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, comes to dwell within you and me. Does that make your mind boggle? I kind of become slightly overwhelmed as I start to think on that and meditate on that and dwell on that. God, the maker of the universe, that died on the cross for me, has come to set up home within my heart and to dwell within me. That's how much he loves me. That's how much he loves you. Now, I'm sure you all know that both Julia and I are now empty nesters. When we moved to Down End, we left our children up north, living in their own flats with all their stuff and all their belongings. And so we moved here with far fewer stuff than we had before. We moved to Down End and we set up home. Now, some of you that know me well will know that I'm slightly on the OCD spectrum, that I am very ordered and methodical and tidy. I like everything in its place because everything has a place. And so if you come to my study, you will see that all my books are ordered, all my commentaries are ordered according to biblical books, and all the rest of my books are ordered according to genre, whether that's to do with prayer or spirituality, parenting or children. Whatever it happens to be, my books are all ordered and I know where they are. And it's exactly the same for my DVDs. I have racks of them and they're all ordered according to genre. Action films, chick flicks, musicals, crime, the list goes on and on. But when my children come to stay, whether it's for a few days or a week, all chaos breaks out in our house. And within 24 hours of them arriving, my kids' clothes are all over the lounge. Their bedroom looks like a bomb's hit it. There are plates and cups in every room in the house. My son has converted my study into his music room, where he opens up his music instrument cases, leaves them lying around, and instruments lying around, and piles of music and music stands. It looks like there is just chaos everywhere. Now, Julia will tell you just how much this irritates and frustrates me. I'm so OCD that when Julia is cooking a meal in the kitchen, I go round after her, clearing up after her. But I'm so OCD that I clear up after her before she's even used the things that she's got out to use. So she'll be going to look for a bowl that I've picked up and put away because I thought she'd finish with it. So you can imagine how much it frustrates me when my kids come home and the house looks like a bomb has hit it. There is no doubt that when my children come home, I know that they've moved back into the vicarage. I can see the evidence around the house. And I think that what Paul is trying to remind the Ephesian church in this letter and this prayer is that when you allow Christ to dwell within your heart, he will give you the ability and the understanding to begin to understand the height, width, depth and length of his love. As we allow him to take full reign in the whole of our life, in the whole of our, all of that we are, it will begin to have an effect and change us. In just the way when my children come to dwell at the vicarage, it ends up changing the whole house, how we live and how we operate. So too, when we allow God, by his Holy Spirit, to dwell within all of our heart, every area, and not just confine him to one small room in the attic or the lounge over here, but in every area of our heart. So the experience of that love begins to change us. As we dwell in and grow in and put down roots deep into the understanding of who Christ is and how much he loves us, that begins to affect a change in who we are and how we live. In verse 17, Paul says, "Be rooted and established in love," in Christ's love. It's an invocation, it's a challenge, it's an invitation, this is what you need to do, people. Put down roots, just as a tree would put down roots so that it can grow taller, bigger and stronger. The root system sustains all of life for the tree. And if you and I are to grow as disciples, if we're to grow into living more like Jesus, then we too need to put down roots into Christ's love, in order that we might begin to understand more of the depth of his love for us and allow that to shape us and change us. The more we dwell with him and in him, the more we will look like him and do what he did. As we begin to grasp the full extent of Christ's love for us, so we take hold of the fullness of God. We experience more of who God is, and so we are shaped by that. Just as Julia and I are shaped and affected by our kids when they come to dwell in the vicarage for a few days. The invitation is to put down roots into that love, to meditate on that, to try to grasp more of the depth of Christ's love for us in order that it begins to shape us and change us. This is one of the reasons why we've been encouraging the church family to embrace the Christchurch rhythm of life. This set of six practices, confession, worship, intercession and learning, serving and hospitality. And they've been designed to help us to put down those deep roots so that we can become more like Jesus, so that we're enabled to be able to do what Jesus did. They're practices that enable us to be with Jesus, to dwell with him, in order that we are filled with the fullness of God, in order that we can become more like Jesus. Now, what's even more amazing, even more mind-boggling, perhaps even more encouraging and inspiring, is the more that we experience the fullness of God by his Spirit, we read that in verses 16 and 19, we are given more of God's power by his Holy Spirit. And so God does immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. Click, Tim. Tim? Ah, brilliant. So here is my little summary of this prayer. Being rooted in the love of Christ means that we experience the fullness of God in order that we're empowered that he might work in us and through us. And so God will do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. Dwelling in Christ's love leads to experiencing the fullness of God, which leads to being empowered by the Holy Spirit to live for Jesus, in order that his name is glorified and honored. Brothers and sisters, this is what we want to be here at Christchurch: people that are rooted in that love, in order that we're empowered to live like Jesus in every area of life, so that the name of Jesus is glorified. Amen.